Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the MedBullet Step 1 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of impotence and erectile dysfunction found under the reproductive section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 35-year-old man with a past medical history of depression presents to his primary care physician for evaluation of difficulty maintaining an erection. He is married, has three children, all under the age of five, and was recently fired from a long-standing job. He reports feeling constantly fatigued and losing interest in activities he previously enjoyed, such as golfing. He reports never feeling like engaging in sexual intercourse, but feels pressure to do so from his wife. He reports having daily morning erections. His routine labs from 6 months ago at an annual visit reveal normal hemoglobin A1C and lipid levels. Impotence or erectile dysfunction is the inability to have or maintain an erection for intercourse. The incidence increases with age, and it is seen mainly in men greater than 40 years old. Risk factors include hypertension, diabetes, chronic prostatitis, smoking, and obesity. Primary erectile dysfunction has a normal functioning penis and can be caused by a psychogenic cause, such as fear of intimacy, depression, stress, anxiety, or guilt, or performance anxiety. It can also be caused by decreased testosterone, decreased libido, decreased desire, thyroid disease, and Cushing syndrome. Secondary erectile dysfunction has an abnormally functioning penis and can be caused by vascular disease, atherosclerosis causing decreased blood flow to the organ, diabetes, drugs, alcohol, antidepressants, and endocrine causes such as hypogonadism and hyperprolactinemia. Normally, nitric oxide is released, which leads to the formation of 3,5-cycloguanosine monophosphate. 3,5-CGMP causes compression of veins, which impedes venous return and causes an erection. In erectile dysfunction, various etiologies likely interfere with the pathway, causing low concentrations of 3,5-CGMP. Associated conditions include depression and benign prostatic hypertrophy. Most patients can be managed but not cured. Symptoms include presence or absence of morning or nighttime erections, presence may suggest psychogenic etiology, difficulty with arousal, and difficulty with orgasms. On physical exam, the patient may have hypogonadism. Appropriate labs include fasting blood sugar, hemoglobin A1C, lipid profile, morning testosterone levels, and thyroid function tests. Nocturnal penile tumescence and rigidity tests may help differentiate between primary and secondary etiologies. One differential diagnosis is premature ejaculation. Treatment includes weight loss and diet modification, which is indicated for obesity and diabetes, counseling, which is indicated for psychogenic erectile dysfunction, phosphodiesterase inhibitors, including sildenafil and vardenafil, and implants or injection therapy, which is indicated if patients are contraindicated to PDE5 inhibitors. Complications include relationship problems. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to impotence and erectile dysfunction, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 57-year-old male presents with a primary complaint of erectile dysfunction. After proper evaluation, the patient is started on daily administration of sildenafil. This medication directly causes accumulation of which of the following intracellular mediators? Choice 1, calcium. Choice 2, CGMP. Choice 3, AMP. Choice 4, NO. Choice 5, ANP. The correct answer is choice 2, CGMP. Sildenafil is a selective inhibitor of CGMP-specific phosphodiesterase type 5. Inhibition of this enzyme leads to a reduction in CGMP degradation and therefore an accumulation of CGMP. Increased CGMP levels lead to decreased intracellular calcium levels, resulting in smooth muscle relaxation in the corpus cavernosum. This allows for increased blood flow to the penis and thus improved erectile function. ANP and NO are endogenous hormones that bind extracellular or intracellular receptors respectively. These receptors in turn activate the CGMP second messenger pathway via guanylate cyclase. Nitrates used in the treatment of angina work by a similar mechanism to PDE5 inhibitors. Therefore, the combination of these two agents is contraindicated due to the risk of hypotensive crisis. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Elevated CGMP as a result of PDE5 inhibitor action leads to a decrease in intracellular calcium levels that causes smooth muscle relaxation. Choice 3. Sildenafil works through inhibiting the breakdown of CGMP, not AMP. Choices 4 and 5, NO and ANP, act by increasing production of CGMP. They do not decrease the degradation of CGMP and are not directly affected by PDE5 inhibitor action. That's all for this review about impotence and erectile dysfunction. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 1 Podcast, a daily audio review session from MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we would be thrilled if you would consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the MedBullets Step 1 Podcast.